Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. 1-2-3 Kid and Bret Hart. This is one of those kind of like always talked about matches as being sleepers and, you know, best match of Kid's career and great example of why Bret Hart is the man in the ring, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like it's always in the conversation. Maybe I've seen this match. If I did, it was probably many, many, many years ago. So I'm excited to cover it. Jeff, how are you doing? And why are you excited to cover this one?
Doing well, of course, you know, of course, staying cool, of course, the summer months. You know, big things happening, you know, just in wrestling, of course, you know, a lot of things. We got SummerSlam coming up. The G1 starts this weekend, just things happening. But this is one, again, for whatever reason, last 30 days have been the 30 days of 1-2-3 Kid. We covered two of his matches now at this point. This one a little bit longer than, yes, against the Hearts, a little bit longer this week, but that's okay. But let's just get into it. We got good stuff on Monday Night Raw. We don't cover Raw enough. I said that last week or week before. So I'm excited to cover something, like you said, a little hidden gem here.
Yeah, we need more TV matches in here. Yeah, all right.
Absolutely.
It's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So like Jeff said, Monday Night Raw, early days of Monday Night Raw. We're not in the Manhattan, sir, but we're not in a building much bigger. We're at the Fernwood Resort. Jeff, you ever been to the Fernwood Resort?
I have not. Unfortunately, like I said, I did the research on the Fernwood Resort, and it has since burned down. And so I don't know. This is more your area or your neighborhood. I don't know how close you are to grew up to that area.
To Bushkill, yeah. Pennsylvania. I have no idea. I might have grown up 45 minutes away or 6 hours away. I have no idea. I've never heard of the place.
I'm gonna do my research. As you're talking through this.
July 11th, 1994. This actually kicked off Raw, and it's a long match, like especially for these days, hour long episodes. Then after that, we got Crush defeating Matt Hardy, Razor Ramon defeating friend of the show Barry Horowitz, and then in your main event, Erwin R. Scheister defeating Ray Hudson. 1,600 jam-packed inside the Fernwood Resort for a sellout.
Sure.
Would you learn?
Bushwood is closer to New York than it is anything else.
I figure.
It's Bushkill. Yes, it is on the far. It's actually like right on the border of Jersey. And so it is way out there. And then if you Google Bushkill, Pennsylvania, it is, they call it the Niagara of Pennsylvania. So there you go, buddy.
Interesting.
Pocono Mountains. Yep. So, okay.
All right. How do we get to this? This is like peak 1-2-3 Kid, man. He's hot off his win against Razor, right?
Yeah, we're going to breeze through this real quick. Like you said, we had the upset win over Razor, and then you had the storyline with Ted DiBiase and the different amounts of money. And then, you know, who was feuding with Razor at that point as well, too, you know, telling you he lost to nobody. And so that's what angered, you know, Kid was upset at that. And so that had a match which led to him and Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And so, you had the 1-2-3 Kid making his pay-per-view debut. It was at SummerSlam a little bit before this, losing to, IRS and Razor. Razor beating him. So, Survivor Series, you had Kid on Razor's team. It was a 4-on-4 elimination match. You had, him and Marty Jannetty as the sole survivors of that one. And so actually the two of them having a short-lived, tag team run as well too with the belts. And so getting that, of course, and so in the previous one, it was, you had, you know, and not holding it for very long either. So that was a big part of it as well too. And so they actually held them for a week. So after it beat the Quebecers for that one. So that four-way though at Survivor Series is a 1-2-3 kid, Marty Jannetty, Randy Savage, and Razor Ramon beating Atom Bomb, Diesel, IRS, and Rick Martel. And so you really for a long time though had 1-2-3 kid just kind of that underdog. That was kind of, you know, how he was, you know, being played up at this point. So Brett though, he had Hart and Luger. They were final two participants in the Royal Rumble in 1994. Of course, you had the over the top at the same time. And so you had co-winners and then the WrestleMania 10 craziness. And so we've had a lot around this time frame lately. We've been talking about 10 and 12 a lot, but for good reasons. And so, you know, you had Luger facing Yokozuna first. And so, but then Hart having to beat Owen. And so, or having to just have a match with Owen, which he ended up losing that one, but still beat Yokozuna for Brett's WWF championship at this point. And so kind of with that, at King of the Ring, actually. And so of this 1994, you had Hart defending the championship against Diesel. You had Shawn interfering in that match as well, too. And so Diesel winning by DQ. And so Hart retaining the title on that one. So again, playing out a little bit here, you had Jim the Anvil Neidhart attacking Hart after the match. You said, you know, made it clear that, of course, later in that evening when he helped Owen on his King of the Ring match, and so that he could get the title shot. And so Brett had really been feuding with Owen up until this point. And so, yeah, it was just not a lot between these guys, not in each other's worlds, other than, you know, just it's time for Monday Night Raw. Let's have a match. So if you're ready, I'm ready, my friend.
7 minute mark of Monday Night Raw. Your Peacock stats are season 2, episode 25. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's get into it, my friend.
It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
Power elbow tie up, Brett the Hitman.
Okay, here we go.
Arm drag takedown. The 1-2-3.
Fast start.
Very, very quick.
Good look there, Brett. Moving it. Yeah, kind of, ooh, look at that going on here. They did shake hands just before this one, too.
Thinking about Neidhart and Owen Hart. You be thinking about me because I'm yeah. Title.
JR and Macho on commentary.
I don't know about you, buddy. I could go for a Slim Jim right now. Oh, my gosh. Like, you know what else I could go for, too? Something new from Manscaped. It's that time of the year, of course. Don't forget manscaped.com. Using our promo code payoff20 at manscaped.com will get you 20% off and free shipping. So don't forget about that. All kinds of good stuff in the store there. That's payoff20, free shipping and 20% off.
Yeah, we're both fans of their stuff. Total shoot. We use it regularly. Every week we're using nose trimmer, ball trimmer. You know, I even use their shampoo. I love that stuff. Shampoo and conditioner all in one. Just makes it easier.
I bought the chapstick. It's something little, but I did pick it up. And so worth it. Stocking stuffer. Kid with the kip up there. Yep.
Off to the left of the screen is a big sign for the Fernwood Casino that you may see.
Yep, I did see that actually. Yep, I made a point to check that out. Yep, absolutely. Kind of funny. I don't know why we keep talking about the Fernwood result as much as we are, but that was I was so like shocked that, like you said, it was just
there. It is. There's a good view of it right there.
Resort and Country Club. Yep.
Country Club too.
Yep, of course. And so, because it was a random tweet from 2018 that said, last night, the Fernwood Result Event Center in Bushkill, PA burnt down, notably known for hosting many memorable Monday Night Raw episodes.
Really?
Apparently, yeah.
Hotbed for Monday Night Raw. So
I don't
Brett,
know.
Brett looks pissed off that he's in an arm bar right now. Kid kind of surprising him a little bit.
And he had a reaction. He's doing good with the camera work here. Kind of right out of the gate too. Kind of some of his reactions of, kind of how fast Kid is. So yeah,
I mean, so fast at this stage. He was just, I mean, it was amazing how fast he was just compared to, you know, the normal WWF style.
Yep.
So hopefully it comes into the shot here in a second. The ring entrance that they used in this time. Remember they used, you see it right now?
Yes. With the neon. Yeah.
I saw somebody tweet like a week or two ago, or I guess in June, during Pride Month, they said, oh, that was the Pride entrance. Cause they had like that rainbow.
Oh man. Oh,
yeah, but
man.
It was funny. It was like, oh yeah, I guess that is, but they used it for like 2 years. I feel like they used that for like everything. Maybe not WrestleManias, but I swear they used that thing during pay-per-views.
That was yikes. Yeah.
I mean, they used it. They definitely had that entrance during like Survivor Series. I remember guys coming out. So it wasn't even just Raw, but it was just such an odd colored thing. I mean, it wasn't like it was red and black for Raw or, you know, some of the other entrances out there, but they got like 2 full years out of that thing.
Okay. I don't know why Fernwood Resort has become such a part of this episode, but I have done some digging at this point.
Don't stop now. Just keep going.
You had some Superstars of Wrestling tapings there. That would have been November 8th, 1994. 123 Kid beat the Brooklyn Brawler on this episode.
Was Superstars of Wrestling a WWF show?
Yeah, it says matches for Superstars of Wrestling because the main event there was Duke Droz versus the Black Phantom, who was...
Which begs the question, because I have to ask, who was it?
The Black Phantom was Gangrel.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to dig in and try and find ourselves some Black Phantom episodes here. You had a British Bulldog and Bret Hart defeating Jim Neidhart and Owen Hart in 15 minutes at the Fernwood Resort. That's crazy. Let's see here. Just a bunch of tapings here. Crush beating Todd Mata. Don't know that one. Yeah, that was a Monday night taping. Bob Backlund and Barry Horowitz having a match there. Okay, sure. I'm going to do that. So I'd say there's maybe a half dozen, maybe seven or eight tapings that happened at the Fernwood Resort in Bushkill, PA.
Do you know why Vince McMahon wasn't on commentary for this match?
Why?
Because he was during the steroid trial.
Ah, yes, 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 yes.
So that's going on during all of this as well.
Interesting.
Literally that week.
Was that, I was going to say, yeah, because then, when I was doing the research on this one, it was all the newsletters were all about the thing. Like
almost all of Meltzer's was about the trial, which I guess, well, I mean, why not? What else is going on? This was also right around Flair Hogan. Flair, yes. Coming into WCW. Or that's Hogan, right. Coming into WCW.
Yep. Get the Ico Pro banner hanging up there as well, too. You representing, of course.
My Ico Pro shirt. Wear that at wrestling events all the time. Well, it's highly unlikely at this point that I'll do it. But I got to tell you, a small part of me would like to be in Nashville for StarCast and Flair's match.
Yeah, I know. Like, just good stuff. I know, you know, like we said, like what, you know, the town itself, like there's a lot happening. Of course, the history there with Flair as well, too. Like, good stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, we've done StarCast before, too. We had a fantastic time. We had a lot of, you know, fans come out and kind of meet us. And we got to meet a lot of people as well, too. We know there's a lot of payoff koozies floating around out there. And we're overdue for a show like that again. But I'm sure they're in a big lineup. So that's always exciting, too.
If it was in Vegas, I'd be there. It's just, dude, I don't know how much flying you've done. Did you, on your last trip that we were just talking about, did you drive or fly?
I flew. Yep.
And everything went okay?
I had no problem. I got lucky where I almost...
People, it's just miserable. So many people are getting delayed and all kinds of bullshit. So it's like, okay, I'm coming from Arizona, going to Nashville. I looked at flights. I don't think there's anything direct. Maybe there was something. It's going to cost you a fortune. Then, you know, it's everything's so damn expensive. Hotels and Ubers and flights getting canceled. And, you know, if it's raining, it'll be a pain in the ass getting around town. Like, it just sounds awful to me. I'm getting old. I don't know. But, man, if it was in Vegas, I'd be there in a heartbeat. So
oof, yikes. Big whip into the corner, though. Unbelievable. Okay, so.
Just moved a foot and a half away from us, Tim Ross. I'm going to have to take off my sunglasses so I can see the action.
so good.
Good. That was a perfect timing for that line.
Like, you compare that to like Corey Graves, man. It's just night and day, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. So I said it last week. We didn't get into it. You had asked me about Eric Bischoff. I have not been feeling Booker T's hot takes lately. I know he's been saying a lot of different things. And a reason I think of this is because most recently, or you know, a little bit ago, he was, I say, criticizing Adam Cole actually because of his size.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying, you know, he's, if he has, what do you say? If Adam Cole has to have surgery and he's down for 6-9 months and he's, you know, lose any more muscle, it's going to be hard on this brother. You know what I'm saying? Right now, he's about $160.
Does Cole need surgery?
I don't know. And okay, so I think he's saying, yeah, but, so, and if I look at someone like a crowd going crazy for 1-2-3, he's little.
The referee did not see it, but I'm sure that
Bret Hart finish that.
And he's trying to explode.
Well, I didn't even see Hart. It. So Brett is saying,
looks to me like
Kid's foot was on the rail.
Like right now,
do not, that was not a three count, it was only a two count.
Which is crazy.
You ever seen that before?
He refused to have his hand raised, and my heart goes out to the 1-2-3 Kid.
Here comes another referee into the ring. Got mass confusion right here during the World
Wrestling Tim
White. Title match right here on Raw.
So he recently passed away, Tim White, yep.
I know we have another commercial break coming up. We'll keep it here as long as we can, ladies and gentlemen.
Try to tell the referees that he doesn't feel that he earned the victory.
Talking to Howard Finkel.
It's funny hearing Macho on commentary. I mean, that's just the way he talks.
On here.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. By request of Bret Hart, this match will continue.
And we'll be right back.
Unbelievable. All right, commercial break. Coming back for more.
A young JR, Macho,
restarting
the match.
But let us take you back to what you missed in the commercial break in this WWF.
Oh, what I missed too.
The match was restarted, but Bret Hart was not ready. And the 1-2-3 Kid just about had, wait a minute, right side of your screen, lateral press, and a near
fall. Yeah, we got a lot going on here.
Boy, there's a lot happening. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, Xbox, I'd say Xbox, 1-2-3 Kid. He is a little guy. Like, you know,
hey, Jeff, it's the same person.
I know. I got to call him the right. He's 1-2-3 Kid at this point. So I got to call him by his name, you know. But what are your thoughts on, like, can the little guys make it? I know we've talked a lot on this show. We know Vince, there's the look, you know, we know that he's looking for, like, if you're like this, you know, huge jacked guy, he's going to give you a job. Like, you know, if you're a hot blonde, he's going to give you a job, which that's not as funny as it was, you know, a month ago. But like, you know, I feel like 1-2-3 Kid made it. Adam Cole gets a lot of shit. Like, what are your thoughts?
So here's my take. Adam Cole, I knew nothing about him prior to NXT. So whatever he did prior to that, no idea, knew nothing about him. I thought he was fantastic at NXT. Mm-hmm. I thought he had the presence, had the, you know, the kind of confidence. I thought he was great. I thought he could be on the main roster as a modern day Shawn Michaels. So that was my opinion of him. Now I still like him in AEW. The problem with him in AEW is he looks like everyone else.
Yeah.
And actually looks kind of scrawny. So ironically, he looks worse in AEW than he did in WWE. Because WWE, it was like, hey, he's in there with Samoa Joe, and he's in there with, you could throw him in there with Drew McIntyre. He's just the small guy, and it fit, okay, because of the varying sizes. You throw him in AEW, and it's like, wait, he's smaller than Hangman Page? He's smaller than Jericho? How small is this guy? You know, you think about it differently, if that makes sense. And so I honestly think, again, he's fond of AEW. His friends are in there. You know, he'll have a nice career. But I think as a fan, I like him in the, no pun intended, WWE universe better, because if used properly on the main roster, I think he would have been awesome. That being said, I don't think they would have used him right on the main roster. I think they would have thought he was too small. So he's probably in the right place. I will tell you, that picture of him online, of him looking real scrawny, like it almost looks doctored. I just never realized he was that small, but I guess he is. So, you know, doesn't bother me. I think the people that bag on him for his size are the ones that just hate AEW and it's just like a game for them. And I don't think they said shit when he was in NXT. Obviously, Booker T never said shit when he was in NXT either, because Booker T's kind of a WWF shill, because that's who pays for, you know, that's where his legacy is. I'm sure he still receives money. He's still on all these AEW A&E documentaries. So, you know, I don't think you're going to get, you know, again, he wasn't criticizing when he was in NXT. What do you
think? I can't watch the kickoff shows anymore because Booker T drives me crazy. And so,
yeah, he does nothing for me.
His voice just grills on me. I don't care about your shucky ducky, whatever, you know, crazy. Don't care. But I feel like whatever reason, like there's always a hot take. It's like Booker T. I feel like the squared circle Reddit always has like, that's how I'm catching it. Like he's dropping some crazy line about somebody doing something and just like, you know, he's in all kinds of weird news and stuff like that. And so, you know, but then he's got some takes. That's fine. Like, you know, he thinks, you know, Paige is going to wrestle again, which she's released now. And so, I think we might see her again too, but, you know, he talks to, he's like, you know, that, I thought one of the more interesting hot takes is I think AEW has some responsibility to bear in regards to the recent Jeff Hardy arrest, which like how many times did he share a locker room with Jeff Hardy? And so like, you know, how much was he enabling some of the stuff that was going on as well too? And so like, yeah. And Jeff Hardy needs help. We know that, like, but corkscrew. Yep.
Moonsault there. Wow.
I just like it. So again, some of the takes are just nonsense, but I don't think you need to be like little guy, big guy, whatever. Like if you're a star, you're going to make yourself a star, plain and simple. So
I will tell you, it just, and again, I guess it's just, it is what it is, but it just annoys me that like I get sick of hearing Booker T's take on everything.
Yes.
Same with Bully Ray. It's like, because they have a daily show. Yep. All of their quotes, all of their daily takes, it's even the same with 1-2-3 Kid. It's like these guys that have shows, I just hear more from them than frankly I need to. And I think their opinion sometimes gets elevated and I'm like, whatever.
Well, I love to when it's
all right, so Kid just missed a flip off the top rope. Looks like Sharpshooter's coming. I think this is about, no, he's on the rope.
Too close to the rope.
Nothing's more important than the
This Red is the title right there. Match,
yep. Do what you can do. If you can get it done, do it.
A kid. A lot of high flying. They've been inside the ring, outside the ring. Like they've just been stiff.
Forearm again by Bret the Hitman Hart.
My favorite take, of course, with all the Vince McMahon stuff going on, which he's literally paid to have a hot take, but Booker said, I wouldn't want to jump ahead of myself and say something that I have no idea what's really going on. You literally do that every week.
Yeah, I know. What's it's whoa. Whoa, wow.
He's a two and a half again. Ooh. Oh my.
That was Brett tried to suplex 1-2-3 Kid and he like countered it into a cover and quote near fall there. Yeah, Kid, he is diving all over. He is just selling the shit out of everything.
It's a hell of a match, man.
They're just going crazy out there, yeah. The Bulldog here, yep.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, I know. You pick and choose what you shouldn't comment on because, you know, just be consistent, right?
Yeah.
Don't ever comment on stuff you don't know everything about, but then you'd have nothing to talk about. Right?
Yeah, that's the whole point. 1-2-3, kind of Brett was up, kind of getting tossed.
So he's going, I guess he's going for his finishing move, his moonsault, right?
He's climbing. What a lie. Center of the ring.
And the referee's called over the veil.
The winner of this fight, and still
checking on him now. Yep.
He's checking on him, saying a few words. Yeah. I will tell you, well, first of all, I will just tell you, I hate the new trend of whispering in the guy's ear after every match now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, when Shawn did it for Flair, okay, it made sense. There's a couple times in history where you should do it, but now they just do it. I don't know if you notice, after every match, it's like four times on an AEW show, the one guy will whisper in the other guy's ear, oh, great match. Like, so, all right, they're congratulating each other. Hell of a match. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
Better than, unlike last week, which was worse than expected, this was definitely way better than expected. So
that was a hell of a match, dude.
Yeah, this was really good. I really enjoyed watching this one. They put on a good show. Yep, absolutely. So what happened here, though, of course, you had, he had a brief 1-2-3 here, had a brief tag title run, actually in January of 1995, a couple months after this, with Bob Holly. They beat Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka at the Royal Rumble, and then losing it the next day to the Smoking Guns. And so Kid and Razor failing to win the title or tag team championships from Billy and Barkgun in October of 1995. So jumping way ahead here, you had Kid attacking, at this point, really starting a heel turn. And so at this point, you had Razor go, or a few months later, it would have been Survivor Series, Razor going for the Razor's Edge, Kid against Psycho Sid, Kid kind of interfering at this point, and then which Sid then hit his powerbomb on Razor. And so Kid fast count of the pinfall, actually, we got a guest referee, and so turning heel at that point. So, you know, so really a year after this, he was, you know, kind of a year and a half had his heel turn. So you had Brett, though, actually SummerSlam retaining the title against Owen in a steel cage match. This was, of course, the 5-star feud of the year from the Wrestling Observer newsletter on this point. Just a fantastic match all around, which we've covered before. Go back in the archives and check it out. And so he eventually lost it, of course, to the great Bob Backlund in their Survivor Series match of this year as well, too, which was a little crazy. He had the crossface chicken wing, and so throwing the towel in. So that one was a little weird. Which Brett and Backlund feuding for the second half of 1994, but Brett also being the greatest wrestler of 1994 from the PWI. And so that was his second year in a row winning that one. So PWI, of course, like we already said, Brett getting number one on that one, 1-2-3 coming in at number 22. The Observer newsletter really had nothing on this one other than he gave it 4.5 stars. The torch on this one, though, a 22-minute match built tremendously. Do you have something? You good? Yep.
No, I was going to tell you, Meltzer has this as tied for Kid's best match ever, along with another match you and I covered, the Eastwood Shawn Michaels against Razor and the Kid, that Action Zone match.
Okay. Oh, yes. That was a good one. Okay. So 4.5 from Meltzer, the torch, the 22 match built tremendously. For the finish, Kid came off the top rope with a drop kick, but Brett caught Kid's legs in midair and turned it into a sharpshooter. Kid quickly submitted. After the match, many fans stood and clapped. Ross and Savage also stood and clapped as Brett helped Kid to his feet. Ross called it the greatest championship match he's ever seen. 4 stars. So 4 stars, 4.5 stars. Tom, give it to me.
Man, I got this thing at like a 7.5. You know, not a lot of storyline standpoint, but just a great 17-minute match at a time where there were not a lot of great 17-minute matches coming out of this promotion. So tore down the house in Bushkill.
Bushkill, PA, man.
The Fernwood Resort and Country Club. I thought it was fantastic. So I really liked it a lot. 7.5, big fan. Probably the best match of Kid's career. I get it. I mean, it's fantastic. What'd you think?
Love to hear if we have any listeners that were there. Let us know. Shout us out on Twitter.
The fifth best match of Kid's career, AJ Styles and TNA in 2005. That would be a fun one to watch.
We got to cover some more TNA. Absolutely. So I'm with you. I'm going to go a little bit higher because I did. I enjoy it, like I said, more than I expected. So I'm at 8 on this one. You're a 7.5. Wow. I'm at 8. It was
you're a bigger Bret Hart mark than me.
I am, absolutely. Like I said, one of my greatest regrets in life is never getting the shades from him. And so, mom and dad, thanks a lot. I'm scarred for life. So, I think that I appreciate though, like, oh my, you know, they put in the work. I thought it was just absolutely fantastic. You know, just really good stuff. The match, like, Kid worked really hard and you could see it. And so I thought that was really good stuff. Yep.
All right. We both enjoyed it. That was a fun episode, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, what do we got here? I don't even know what we got next. Oh, we're back to ECW. So,
what is it? I don't remember.
We are doing the ECW Heavyweight Championship Heat Wave 1994, Sabu versus Shane Douglas.
Oh, okay.
And we got some SummerSlam matches. We got some crazy SummerSlam matches. We got some stuff we've never talked about. So I'm excited.
Good. Let's do it.
All right.
All right. This is a fun episode, man.
Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff. Send him home happy.
All right. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.